It's the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson.
Now, while this is all going on, I went through President Trump's speech and Chuck and Nancy's rebuttal.
The most important story.
The American people finally said enough, and that is why they elected Donald Trump.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
It's almost unbelievable that Trump has extricated the U.S. from the Iran nuclear deal.
And opinions and ideas that prepare you to tackle the day ahead.
Because ideas matter.
It's the AmeriChicks, dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-woo!
You like that one, don't you, Steve? He likes that. Okay, well, welcome to the AmeriChicks. I'm Kim Munson, and we are dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left, agree or disagree. Let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. I have a new website, and it is beautiful. Sign up for my emails. I'll keep you apprised of all the upcoming guests, topics, and important events. And I am the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter as well. I'd appreciate it if you would like and follow me. And I offer a conservatarian perspective. Another thing I wanted to mention to you is Vino and Veritas. We have now had two Vino and Veritas. We are meeting the fourth Monday of each month. And just this last Monday was our second one. I'm partnering with Dr. Tom Kranowitter, his team at Speakeasy Ideas, and Jen Hewlin, owner of Water's Edge Winery, to bring you Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth. And Dr. Kranowitter is creating a fascinating lecture series on the Federalist Papers. And good news is we are sold out. The bad news is we are sold out. But get on the wait list. I know that Bethany and the team over at Speakeasy is working to start another Vino and Veritas. So email me at kim@americhicks.com if you would like to be on the wait list. And just a great thank you to Harmony Ridge Construction, which was January's presenting sponsor of Vino and Veritas. And February's presenting sponsor is Susan Kochevar, owner of the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. And spring is right around the corner. She will be opening soon. So let's get into it. First of all, I want to say good morning to Cassie George, my guest chick. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing great. How are you?
It's great to have you in studio.
Hey, good to be back.
You know what? It's going to be...
I got invited back, so that's good.
Well, absolutely. It is an open invitation for sure. So we're going to be talking about the Communist Manifesto.
And that makes me very excited. So.
Yeah. I think it's important to kick the tires on these ideas. We hear a lot about socialism out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that will be in the third and fourth segment. In the second segment, Major General Bentley Rayburn, retired Air Force general, will be calling in and wanted to get his thoughts on this federal court ruling.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding the court said that it was unconstitutional to have an all-male draft. And I want to find out what he thinks about it. Cassie, I want to find out what you think about it. And producer Steve, if you want to jump in, I'd love that as well. But before we get to headlines, Steve, are you ready for this one?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
I hate to sound less than enthusiastic, but The level of corniness sometimes is too much to take.
Okay,
this
Steve.
This early in the morning. Go for it.
What did the attorney name his daughter, Steve? Not Steve. No, what did the attorney name his daughter?
I don't know. What did the attorney name his daughter?
Sue.
We got to get that drummer. Yeah. He's way too easy.
Okay. And a little inspiration in the morning. Let's start with this. Prayer by Gail Brooke Burkett. She says, I do not ask to walk smooth paths nor bear an easy load. I pray for strength and fortitude to climb the rock-strewn road. Give me such courage I can scale the hardest peaks alone and transform every stumbling block into a stepping stone. And Cassie, one of the reasons that I've decided that we're going to start the morning with a little humor and a little inspiration is because I think we need that in America today.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
one only has to look at the current headlines and know that we're in trouble.
So a little inspiration, a little humor. Let's talk just a little bit about headlines. First of all, as everybody knows, President Trump is over in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And he is having his second summit with Kim Jong-un. And, of course, the pundits... that do not want Trump to succeed on anything are just throwing all kinds of stones at this. But I find it historic that they're sitting down. We're not shooting missiles at each other right now. They're sitting down and talking and having a conversation. Steve, what do you think about that?
Well, I got a bone to pick with the press, and I'll let you ladies disseminate more, and I'll get out of this. But yesterday, probably between 3 and 4, I sit down, and Fox, I guess, was the website I went to, and says, summit off to a rocky start. And right away, like, uh-oh, you know, something really went off that probably shouldn't have. And all it was the press got moved from one hotel to another. And I was like, you self-centered son of a gun. Who gives a flip? It's not about you. It's about what's happening between these two men.
But and, the headline.
And the headlines.
Mm-hmm. Implies.
Summit off to a rocky start.
It implies that Trump and Kim Jong-un are off to a rocky start. And that is disingenuous. That is for sure disingenuous. So just wanted to mention that because the next headline, Cassie, is the one that really has me concerned. And Michael Cohen, you know, they've been putting the big hurt on him. He is President Trump's former attorney. And apparently he is going to come out and say that President Trump is a racist, that he's a con man, and he's a cheat. Now, my friends, we have to remember what's really going on here. For the last 2+ years, politicians, pundits, professors, bureaucrats, have been going after Trump. This is the kind of the deep state. And this is the message that they want to get out now. It started with Hillary Clinton at one of the debates where I remember, Cassie, that she threw something out about Donald Trump and the Russians. And then, you know, Donald Trump jokingly said, hey, Russians, why don't you check out all of the lost emails of Hillary's? And then the progressive activist left said that he must be colluding
with the Russians. He just tweeted at them.
Yeah.
We all know if you tweet at someone that, you know, they get the message.
Yeah. And it must have been a secret
clearly
message.
Russia. Yeah.
Clearly Russia. Yeah. But I mean, if you really look at it, it was the Clintons that made the deal with Russians that gave away a bunch of our uranium.
Yeah. And nobody pays attention to that.
And Mueller has been doing this investigation for over 2 years.
2 years.
And if he can't find collusion within 2 years, he's obviously incompetent. But that's not what they wanted to find. They want to keep this going on and on and on so that busy, hardworking American out there just has these questions and this confusion. That is what this is all about. Steve, you had a comment?
Just the humorous. Again, the memes on Facebook sometimes can be so cutting in their truth, but your humor. And it said, in 10 days, the Chicago police found out more about Jesse Smollett than Mueller has found out about Trump in 2 years.
Well, the real story here is that they don't want to find anything out. They want to create confusion. This is all towards the 2020 election. But yesterday, Cassie, you know, one of the other things that I do is I have this World War II project. Mm-hmm. And I have been expanding it into, I've interviewed a few Korean War veterans, and the Korean War is called the Forgotten War.
Yeah.
And then I thought I need to start to expand this into Vietnam veterans as well. And I had the great honor to interview Orson Swindell. And this is just kind of, it's interesting how all these things happen, because I met him last week. I went up to a group of Marines meets once a month. It's called Cooper's Troopers. And they were honoring six of the Iwo Jima World War II veterans. And I've interviewed all six of them. And so I was sitting there, and next in the table next to me, I was introduced. And then Orson gave me his card. Mm-hmm. And he said, I was a Vietnam prisoner of war for over 6 years. Mm-hmm. And then another veteran came up who was also a Vietnam veteran. And the respect and the care that and the emotion that I saw between the two men, it kind of took my breath away. Mm. So anyway, I interviewed Orson yesterday, and we talked about when he was a prisoner of war, and he was talking about the torture and the interrogation. And the physical torture was awful. It was just awful. But what they were trying to get him to do was to talk.
Yeah, confession.
Confession, to talk, to say where, you know, who's the lead, you know, who's his commanders, and where are the troops. And the torture was awful. And in fact, he got down to almost 130 pounds. And he was a big strapping football player. So he said, you know what we all figured out to do? What I figured out to do was to lie. And he said he remembered his high school football team back in Georgia. It was a pretty good football team. So when they asked who the commander was, he said it was the gave the name of his football coach. And he ended up, as he gave the names of his whole football team. And he said that he was back at some point in time for a big reunion, and he looked out and he saw 11 of the 20 guys that he'd played football with and given their names. And he said, you know, you guys need to be really careful, because if you ever end up in Vietnam, they're looking for you. But I was then thinking about this whole thing with Michael Cohen. Mm-hmm. This is the narrative that they want to now put out regarding Trump. There's no collusion. Now they want to say he's a racist, he's a con man, and he's a cheat. That is what the narrative that they want to put out there.
Yeah, well, I think, to your point, they are definitely using this, and they, as in, you know, Mueller and the left, are using this, you know, it's kind of like a in their pocket for a rainy day. So if Trump ever starts doing anything, you know, that's actually good, I mean, they'll just pull it back out and then, you know, remind everyone that Trump's a racist, and a con man, and a cheat, and then, you know, people go, oh, yeah, that's right, and then...
Right, instead of he's the guy that's sitting down with Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, which nobody else is doing.
Right,
ever done.
Instead of, you know, lobbing missiles at each other.
Yeah.
Or that the black
or
unemployment
ignoring it.
Rate. Yeah, or the black unemployment rate,
mm-hmm.
the Hispanic unemployment rate, the unemployment rate for women is the lowest in history.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to talk about that. Do I think Trump is perfect? No, but there is nobody that's perfect. And mm-hmm. I've certainly done things in the past that I'd like to maybe... would have them back.
Redo.
I might do a redo or not do, and maybe a not do.
That yeah, not it. Do.
But when you look at what President Trump, I think he has a heart for Americans, no matter what your descriptor is, mm-hmm. man, woman, black, white, gay, straight. I think he has a heart for Americans. The policies that he is putting in place is good for every American, no matter what your descriptor is. And that is one of the reasons why they are going after him. Now, Cheryl Atkinson,
mm-hmm.
You know, we had talked with her, and I think it was when you were here last
yeah.
time, you know, and she was the former CBS reporter. She was reporting on Fast and Furious, which was the Obama's gun running, basically, is what mm-hmm. it was. And then also Benghazi. And so, interestingly enough, she figured out she was starting to be spied on mm. by the Department of Justice
yep.
and the FBI.
Through her computer.
Yeah. And so I asked her, I said, well, was this Comey's FBI? And she said it actually started before then.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, really? Who was the FBI director then? It was Bob Mueller. Is this not, this is quite a web that we have going here. So my point is I think that they are in a way doing to Cohen and to Manafort, putting Manafort in solitary confinement, you know, bringing Roger Stone out in the mm-hmm. in the morning, you know, at dawn in shackles, when by afternoon he'd been released by the judge. I think that this is a form of torture mm-hmm. that they are doing to try to get the narrative that they want. And that narrative right now is that Trump is a racist, a con man, and a cheat. And so that is what they're going to be pushing here for the next couple of years. So I thought it was just important. I think that this is a more sophisticated kind of torture that they are doing. I'm not saying Cohen and Stone and Manafort are perfect. One other point I do want to make. And I was doing research on Manafort. And it just happened that... his former business partner, the last name was Davis, and that guy happened to be a pallbearer at John McCain's funeral. So there is a whole bunch of stuff going on there, and they are, I think, torturing Manafort and Cohen to try to get the narrative that they want and that they can push out. So anyway, your thought on that, Cassie, and then we'll go to break in a minute.
Yeah, no, I absolutely think you're correct. And like you said, I mean, the unemployment rates and I mean, what he's done for all of us and his love for Americans, or Trump's love for Americans, doesn't matter. Because he's not the person that the Democrats want. And so this should tell all of us that this is so much more about... It's not about just, you know, Trump or anything like that. It's the fact that the Democrats are just not in control, and they hate that. So it's not about the good of Americans. They could care less. I mean, they've shown that. They could care less about what black unemployment rate is. They're not in control, and that's their point.
And Excellent point. So we're going to go to break here. Before we do that, though, I just wanted to give a shout out to Hooters Restaurants. They are my sports headquarters. And March Madness is just right around the corner. Can't wait because I am a KU basketball fan, Rock Chalk Jayhawk. And Hooters is the place to watch the games. They have specials starting at $10 for a draft and 10 boneless wings. And Hooters wings can fly. You can have them delivered right to your doorstep. And Steve, I am having them delivered today because the girls are coming over tonight and they love them. I get those new smoked wings that are half the calories, so they're good for your waistline. And so order your Hooters wings to go or have them delivered right to your front door. More information, visit HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. Let them know that you know the AmeriChicks. This is Kim Munson. We'll be right back with guest chick Cassie George.
All AmeriChick sponsors are an exclusive partnership with the AmeriChicks and are not affiliated or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson and grow your business, contact Kim at AmeriChicks.com. That's AmeriChicks.com.
Dan Predovich and his team at Predovich & Company help your business plan ahead financially. The AmeriChicks with Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company as your financial business consultant. Predovich & Company will take care of your tax preparation, bookkeeping, and business advisory services. Dan Predovich and his team want to learn about the unique needs of your business through real, honest dialogue. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call 303-791-3000 to start preparing now for tax season. Organize your business finances with Predovich & Company. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, where I dissect the issues, the latest news, politics, and opinion as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my new website. It's beautiful, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my emails. I will keep you apprised of all the upcoming guests, topics, and important events. And I'd appreciate it if you would like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and I offer a conservatarian perspective. Thrilled to have in studio with me a marvelous millennial, and that is Cassie George. It's great to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And we're going to be talking with General Bentley Rayburn in just a moment. I just saw this, that a federal court has ruled that the male-only draft is unconstitutional. But before we do that, one other little point. And that is, Cassie, I just saw the headline that is one of the strongest Arctic outbreaks of winter is ready to surge into the lower 48 states in early March. So how about that global warming?
It's not working out so well.
Yep. So they'll just have to change the name, won't they? But let's jump in here with General Bentley Rayburn. He is retired Air Force. Bentley, it is great to have you on the show today.
Hey, Kim, it's great to be there. And just as an aside, it'll be interesting to see how they spin this latest polar vortex into global warming, because they'll do it. You can bet your boots on it.
I jest just a little bit, but, you know, this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I mean, she believes that the Earth is going to burn up in 12 years because she has been taught that through our public education all the way into the university. And all of a sudden, I think a lot of these millennials are going to look at this and they're going to look at my generation and say, you guys lied to me. And so we need to keep these conversations going, Bentley.
That's right. Exactly.
So I saw this headline. I immediately wanted to ask you about this. This was USA Today just a few days ago. It says, with women in combat roles, a federal court rules the male-only draft unconstitutional. What do you think about that as retired Air Force general?
Well, it's interesting. The judge that made that ruling was appointed by George W. Bush, and he ruled that the men-only draft was unconstitutional based on the Due Process Clause in the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. It's also interesting that the complaint was brought by this men's group that I had not heard of, the National Coalition for Men. As I read some of their website, I think they're a bunch of wimps, but nevertheless... as we get into the
most definitely. I'm just going to make a point. So if they're a bunch of wimps, they'd rather have women serve. I just had to say that. Okay, go ahead, Billy.
Exactly. So in terms of the constitutionality, the way I look at it, and I've read some folks who are well studied on this, in Article 1, Section 8, it's clear that it's the Congress that makes the rules for the government and regulation of the armed forces. It's the Congress, not the court, that has the constitutional authority to set what the requirements are for selective service and for the draft. And they have, in the past, said it's young men only. Back in Carter's day, he wanted to put in the women into the selective service after it was done away with for a short period after Vietnam. And the phrase that was used was similarly situated. And because women couldn't be in combat back then, it was pretty clear that they weren't similarly situated. Now the argument is, well, because women are allowed to be in combat, they are similarly situated, and so they ought to be drafted. But that misses the bigger issue, because what we are looking at is a draft. We have a volunteer army, and it's great, and it works well. So what's the draft for? The draft is in a time of national crisis when our very existence is at stake. We have to get people into the armed services quickly, very quickly, in a way that our normal volunteer recruitment processes just can't do. The military is high tech. So it's, what are we going to use these recruits for? Basically, it's for filling in for casualties in those areas which you don't need an extensive amount of training, which is basically the infantry. And while some ladies may certainly be able to meet the minimal requirements, it's clear from all of the studies and from some studies that the Obama administration refused to publish after they were done, while some may be able to meet the minimal requirements, clearly it's a very small amount. And in a crisis situation, you don't have time to bring in half of your recruits as draftees and then have to cull out 90% of them because they wouldn't meet the minimal requirements. And so it's very... it's a rational approach for Congress's responsibility to set the rules for the military, and I don't think that there's any constitutional problems with our current selective service.
Well, Bentley, I really think that this is another effort to blur the lines, to try to blur the lines between men and women, but. One of my other projects is this World War II project. And yesterday I did several interviews, and one of the guys that I interviewed jumped in to Normandy on D-Day. He was a paratrooper. And one of the things that he said was that in war, all plans go out the window. And there really are physical differences between men and women, physiological differences between men and women. And I personally, I'm not going to make you comment on this, but I personally do not think women should be in combat roles, particularly after I have interviewed over 100 World War II veterans. There is something that when you're in the trenches, and you're in combat, I really think that it should be men, because men generally are supposed to be the protectors and the providers. Women generally are supposed to be the nurturers. I mean, that's just kind of the nature's law in the big picture. And so to take those nurturers and put them into combat just doesn't make sense to me. So
I agree with you. I agree with you completely, Kim, and I'll tell you, this issue is much bigger than the draft, because we're witnessing a culture that is falling apart and disintegrating here in the United States. And it's as you have said many times, it's It's because of our educational system. I mean, look at Alexandria Cortez, Ocasio. Look at Hollywood. Men that don't want to be men. They're a bunch of wimps who don't want to own up to their responsibilities as the protectors. And some women who want to be men. And you know, the worst thing in our culture today is to be a mom. It's the most important role that any person could be, a mother raising the next generation, and yet it is so far down the list of what a leftist thinks is important. It's just clear that our culture has got serious, serious problems. So this whole issue about the draft is, in one sense, indicative of where our where our culture is going.
It certainly is, and so I am going to continue to talk about. And you mentioned this thing about a mom, and just a quick little side. When my children were little, I continued to work, but I had very flexible hours so that I could be able to be there with them. And that, and very quickly, a point on this whole equal pay thing is women many times don't want to put in as many hours. They want flexibility. And so employers need to be able to negotiate that with the woman and her, with the employer, instead of government getting in the middle of that. But one of the things, I ended up being the president of this group called Alliance of Professional Women. And I've always thought that women are capable of doing things. I feel I'm a strong woman. I'm a firm woman, you know, in many, you know, taking a stand on things. However, I never, you know, really wanted to go after men as bad or whatever. I figured we each should go out and do our best. So I ended up being the president of this group. There were a number of very left women in the organization, and I didn't really understand it. So I realized that this whole thing that's happening in America has been happening for a long time. But when I had my third child, I could feel that, and I was, I think I was on the board at that time, I could kind of feel some disdain. And I'm like, this is so odd. And then I realized there is this disdain for moms, and particularly if you have more than two kids. Your final comment on that, General Bentley Rayburn, and then let you go.
I agree completely, and I think your experience is unfortunately not the norm. I think it is very much in the middle of it. And as we look at protecting our daughters from being drafted, mm-hmm. The church really has to stand up, because if you say, I don't think this is a proper role for a woman to go into combat, then you have to have something to back that up. And the church has got to come up to say that from a biblical standpoint, this is not the proper role of a woman, because otherwise how can you say you're a quote-unquote conscientious objector in terms of your role as a woman should preclude you from being drafted into combat?
You know, I know we're going a little long on this, Bentley, but one other thing. Yesterday, I don't know if you heard the beginning of the program, but I interviewed for my World War II project Orson Swindell. He was a prisoner of war for over 6 years in the Vietnam War. And I was just thinking about this. Women in combat, there's very big possibility that they could be captured. And, you know, the enemy's not going to do very nice stuff to women that are in combat that have been captured. And, to your point, I think the church needs to stand up on this. So, Bentley, thank you. Really great information on this. I greatly appreciate it. So that is General Bentley Rayburn. And let's jump over here to Jason McBride. Jason, sorry we ran a little long, but we had to talk about that.
That's okay. You could have skipped me. That was more important.
Well, we can't skip you because it's a big day over at your house today.
Happy birthday to you.
Well, it sure is. Today's my oldest son's 20th birthday. And, you know, his name is Preston. I'm real proud of him. He's a smart kid.
You have a nice birthday.
Really hard worker. I guess his crowning accomplishment in life so far, Kim, is he entered and won first place in the junior division for a bodybuilding contest last summer. So that was pretty impressive, because it was the first and only time he did it. and he's managed to move out on his own, so he doesn't live in our basement.
Okay.
And he's a server over at Maggiano's off Dry Creek and I-25, so head over there and have dinner and ask for Preston. He'll take good care of you. I know he takes a lot of pride in doing a really good job, and most importantly, give him a big tip so he doesn't have to hit me up for money. He can pay his bill.
Well, happy birthday. He sounds like a great kid, and congratulations. So let's
Thank you. Kim, I'm sorry. I'm getting a really bad feedback in my ear if I sound funny. I don't know
okay.
if it's on the air like that, but
Steve's shaking his head, saying that it's okay. So I don't know what's going on for sure.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
No problem.
But, you know, we've been talking about tax refunds. Yesterday we chatted a little bit about, you know, the narrative that the media is putting out there that, oh my gosh, the tax refunds that people are receiving are less than last year. And so the Trump tax cuts are not working. But you have looked at this. So what do you think?
Well, no doubt. We went over some examples yesterday, and we'll probably go over more in the coming days and weeks. But, Kim, under almost every circumstance, most Americans, from the lowest earners all the way up to the highest, paid less taxes last year. And by far, middle-class families saw the biggest percentage reduction in their tax burden.
So what has happened that caused so many to see a lower refund?
Well, Kim, there's been plenty of blame to go around. I've heard people say it's the IRS's fault, their employer's fault, and of course, it's Donald Trump's fault. But the reality is that in most cases, nobody did anything wrong. May I explain?
I can't wait to hear this one.
So, Kim, most companies and payroll systems utilize the IRS withholding tables based on your filing status and number of dependents. So if, for example, you're married with three kids, you'd put M and 3 on your W-4. And the way the withholding tables work is they're designed to try and withhold the right amount of tax so you basically break even and you don't owe any or get any back at all.
Okay, Jason, that sort of makes sense, but most people didn't change their status last year, which is why they're confused about why their refund was so much lower. So if the system is supposed to get us to break even, why do so many people usually get a refund?
Well, you've hit the nail on the head, Kim. Because the payroll system doesn't know about your itemized deductions, it doesn't know about other tax credits you might have, it just assumes the standard deduction. So up until 2017, many taxpayers itemized, so their deductions and credits were higher than the standard deduction. That lowered their actual tax liability far below the, quote, standard deduction tax liability, which is why the payroll system over withheld taxes from their paycheck, and the amount that was over withheld, that's what comes back to you as a refund.
So, Jason, I think what you're saying is that in 2018, the payroll systems actually worked the way they were designed to. And so in the past years, they were inaccurate.
You know, that's exactly right. They finally got it correct because the standard deduction doubled for 2018. Less people itemized. They just used the standard deduction. And because the payroll systems were taking that into account and withholding based on what? The standard deduction. More people's withholding came much closer to their actual tax liability in 2018. That's what happened.
Okay, so if you want to get that bonus check next year, bonus check, okay, ask your payroll department to withhold more from your check, right?
That's right. I knew you'd chuckle at bonus check. you either want to reduce the number of dependents you claim, or, for example, let's say you want to get a bonus check of $1,200 from federal and $300 from Colorado. Well, just claim the correct status and dependents, and you can ask your payroll department to withhold, the specific extra dollar amounts out of each check.
My gosh, Jason, this has been so informative. I hope our listeners really are learning from this. And if you'd like to talk to Jason, you can reach out at chickspresidential.com. That's chickspresidential.com. Or the phone number over at Presidential is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, this is just a wealth of information. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Have a good show, Kim.
Okay. Thanks so much. And Cassie, thank you. Now, we're going to get into what we're going to talk about, the Communist Manifesto. Pleased to have in studio with me Cassie George. She is a producer and co-host of Rush to Reason. You hear that every afternoon right here on KLZ 560. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
Work with mortgage professionals who will give you quick and accurate financial advice. Home Mortgage Alliance has the knowledge and expertise to explore the many financial options available to you. The mortgage process can be stressful, and as interest rates rise, it's more important than ever to get pre-qualified now so you're ready to buy. Call Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook with Home Mortgage Alliance to make sure that you're making the right financial choice for you and your family. 303-888-2732. Kim and Mark will remain available to you 24/7 to help you through the process. Choose the only mortgage professionals recommended by the Americhicks with Kim Munson. Call Kim and Mark with Home Mortgage Alliance today. 303-888-2732.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For over 30 years, entrepreneur, stylist, and Americhick Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best with well-priced, made-to-measure clothes that fit a busy lady's lifestyle. Gals, if you want to up your game and freshen your look, email Kim at Americhicks.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Americhicks.com.
Well, we're going to be on fire, I think, after we have this conversation, Cassie George. Welcome back. Kim Munson with the Americhicks. Dissecting issues is right versus wrong instead of right versus left, agree or disagree. Let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my brand new website, americhicks.com. Let's jump in here. We're going to have a conversation about the Communist Manifesto.
Oh, she's got a copy.
I have to tell you. When I bought this, I was back in Lawrence, Kansas, and I went into a used bookstore, and I said, I'm looking for the Communist Manifesto, but I just want you to know that I am an American-loving capitalist, but I just need it for reference. So yes, I bought it. So
no, everyone should have it. You know what you're up against.
It's not that long. You know, when I was doing the promo, you know, the founders have been getting a bad rap in the education system. They're saying that they're just old white guys. Well, as I was preparing for the show, I saw pictures of Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, who all of these young activist socialists are following. You know what? They're old white guys.
They're really old white guys.
They're really old white guys. Yeah. So, Communist Manifesto, what do you think about it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I could say I wish it had never been written.
But somebody probably would have written it.
Yeah, somebody would have somewhere. Yesterday on the show, we were talking about how it is very closely related to Darwin and the Origin of Species.
And they were written kind of at the same time, weren't they?
I believe the Communist Manifesto was written first.
Anyway, go ahead. It was published between 1872 and 1888, it looks like. So, and I'll look that up while you're talking about that, because I want to hear what you have to say. So,
yeah. So, you know, basically with the Communist Manifesto, I think a lot of people kind of dismiss it as, you know, well, a lot of people on the right would dismiss it as, oh, it's kind of this old thing. Like, who's actually really reading this? And it's not so much that people are reading it. It's that people are, you know, implementing what it means, possibly without even thinking about it. I mean, I would say it's the platform of the left. You know, I have some points here for the Communist Manifesto, some of the main points that it makes. But, you know, one of them is get control of the schools. Use them as a transmission belt for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. I mean, this was over 100 years ago.
Right.
That they were saying to do this. And then what did you have after this? You had Darwinism. Then you had the Scopes trial. I mean, this has steadily been going downhill. You had prayer taken out of school. Like, I think we look at it and go, well, you know, wouldn't they have tried to do this faster? Wouldn't we already? I mean, we're seeing it. But it's happening right now, and it's taking time. But I think now we are, you know, kind of reaping the benefit, if you would want to call it that, of, you know, of what they've been implementing for years, what the left has always kind of believed.
Well, and in this, they have several points. There's 9 points. I'm going to read them also. It says they want to abolition of property and land and application of all rents of land to public purposes. That is totally opposite of the American idea of everyday people being able to own property. Mm-hmm. And because of the American idea, everyday people have been able to thrive and flourish. You take a look, we've been in existence for 250 years, and we as just regular people, you know, you and I, we both drove over here in a car, in a warm car, in a safe car. We have, you know, phones, we have plenty of food, we have clothing, and yeah. It is because of the American idea.
Innovation and invention.
Yeah.
And having the freedom to do so.
Yeah, and you see this played out, abolition of private property, you see what's happened in Venezuela. Venezuela, before you were born, I remember, it was a very prosperous country, great resources.
Took about 40 years for it to, you know, now they're starving. And
it can happen here.
Yeah.
It can happen here.
No, it can happen anywhere. And trying to put my thoughts together. There's so many thoughts on this one.
Well, while you're doing that, number two, they say to have a heavy, progressive, or graduated income tax. Well, you're hearing this from the Democrat candidates for president.
Well, look what they were so mad about Trump for, creating a tax cut. How it's not helping anyone. You know, they're all upset about this. And here's the thing. Okay, listening to you say that, you know, here was my thought. The abolition of private property. You know, basically taking everything away. You know, we know, as I would say, smart Americans, we know that the government doesn't exist if we don't exist. The government only makes money off of the people.
Right, they don't create anything.
They're not creating money, they're using money. So this abolition of property and taking everything over, that's not sustainable. They're not trying to sustain anything. They're trying to destroy it.
And
this does not
power.
Create a sustainable society that produces and consumes and has supply and demand. No, it destroys all of that. So that should tell you that their point is not to, you know, create something that will last for generations and is prosperous. It's to destroy it, to take it out.
Well, you know, we're going to go to break. But first of all of you listening out there that have been concerned about millennials, Cassie George is a millennial, and so I think that you can take great heart, you can put a smile on your face, and realize that there are millennials out there that have not been totally corrupted by the activists, progressives that have taken over the education system. And there's a lot of great teachers out there, Cassie. Mm-hmm. I know you were homeschooled, and I do think that is something that, given this sex ed bill, oh, I forgot to mention that. Today is the big rally down at the Capitol. I'm going to be down there at noon. For the rally.
Some of us are going to try to go.
Yeah. It's again, and I thought about it. You know, what is this exactly? What are we rallying for? Mm-hmm. We are rallying for our kids to get to be kids. We are rallying for the freedom of families to be able to be in charge of talking to their children about their sexual health, their relationships. We are rallying against government coming in and forcing and mandating a curriculum. And so I'll be down there at noon at the Capitol, and we'll be rallying against House Bill 19, 1032. But all of you out there, I run into so many millennials. You hear many of them on the show. And I feel very positive about where we are and where we're headed. The veil is off on what has been happening in America. We know who the enemy is. We know what the battle is. And so everybody has to do something every day to make sure that you, you know, are in the fight on this. And that may be just sending an email. Actually, today, that would be great. Sending an email to Senator Don Corum, a Republican from Montrose, who is one of the sponsors of 1032. Send an email to Senator Nancy Todd, another one of the sponsors, and send an email to Representative Lonteen and tell them to pull the bill. We're going to be right back. I'm talking with Cassie George. She is a co-host and the producer of Rush to Reason. You hear that in the afternoon right here on KLZ 560. And we'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. As a Colorado representative to the National Board of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Since losing her mother to breast cancer, Karen Levine has helped organize a local fundraising event called Karen's for the Cure, raising money for breast cancer research. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by the Americhicks with Kim Munson. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, where we dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left, agree or disagree. Let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my website, my new website. It is gorgeous, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my emails. I am the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter as well. I'd appreciate it if you would like me and follow. We all like to be liked, you know, so I'd appreciate it if you'd like me. Cassie George is in studio with me. I like to call you a marvelous millennial. Mm-hmm. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I was getting a little bit of grief on the show for being this marvelous millennial.
The guys weren't doing that, were they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, they've, as Steve pointed out before the show, they've been making some comments on air about, you know, me being on the show, so they'll get over it.
Well, you know what? I think one of these days, let's get them on the show, too.
I think they would like to be AmeriChicks. Then they could feel included. I mean, they need a safe zone.
We're
they need a space to
we'll be inclusive.
You know, inclusivity. And,
okay, we'll
you
do
know,
that. So.
I mean, obviously, the name AmeriChicks, I mean.
Yeah. Well, they could be the AmeriDudes. So
they'll be the AmeriDudes.
Yeah. So
politically correct.
Most definitely. So yeah. One point, you mentioned Darwin, Charles Darwin, mm-hmm. when he published his book was 1859. And then the Communist Manifesto was right after that. It looks like it started in 1872. So, mm-hmm. and it was these German philosophers mm-hmm. that started to affect this. And it's been going on for 100 years. And it's been just very, very incremental. I think that we are at the point now where we see what the results are, and we've got to stand and fight on this thing. Mm-hmm. But during break, we were talking about a whole bunch of different things that are in the Communist Manifesto. But I think what are you concerned about in it?
Well, to go back to what you just said, that you know these were German philosophers and scientists who you know kind of passed down the. Who wrote, you know, Frederick Engels and all that, which his dad was a business owner, so I don't know quite how the whole communist thing came about in his family. But, you know, what did Germany produce? Well, World War II.
World War I, World War II.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Holocaust. And, you know, maybe, you look at Hitler and, you know, okay, that's what that country kind of produced through believing through their, you know, this was their philosophers and scientists, and you know, this is
That's
what they come
a
up
good
with.
Point.
So, like, is there a reason, you know? And I would say, like, maybe there's a reason that hasn't quite happened in America yet, and probably because you know we were founded on different principles because we are not truly a democracy and we're a constitutional republic and we have different rights. And so, anyway, just a side thought. I was just thinking about that. Maybe they're, you know, connected somehow that. You know, the people who were behind the Holocaust and everything were, you know, a product of those schools and those, you know, schools of thought and all of that.
Interesting. Okay, so those old white guys, we've established.
Those old white guys.
The Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels.
Well, it's just the right old white guys that are bad.
But the
fact that Joe Biden and, you know, all these other men that are out there that are, you know, trying to run for president. I don't think Joe's announced it yet, but he's saying he's going to. And Bernie. And, you know, all of them. And, you know, they don't count.
Yeah. But it's really the policies. And you've hit on something really important. So this was in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. And you have Darwinism, you know, that's mm-hmm. coming out. You're having the Communist Manifesto. And we're really in a battle of ideas. And the effects of the ideas that the communists and socialists have done, you look at Stalin, you look at Mao in China, you look at Hitler, Pol Pot in mm-hmm. Cambodia. Millions of people died because of those particular policies. And then you look at the ideas of the old white guys of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton and James Madison. And, you know, one of the things that they talk about is they had slaves. Mm-hmm. But, Cassie, slavery was prevalent throughout the world.
Yeah, we've talked about that on the show, how slavery back then, and a lot of people were, you know, great slave owners. Some people were bad slave owners, but it was a cultural thing. I mean, it was everywhere. Everyone had slaves. Everybody had servants. It wasn't like they were choosing...
Right.
It's different.
It was foisted upon the colonists. I mean, it was mm-hmm. it was foisted upon them. And as they were looking at the Declaration of Independence, this really came out of the Federalist Papers, out of, you know, mm-hmm. Veritas the other night. But as they were looking at this idea, this vision of the Declaration, that if all men are created equal, with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, then that means everybody. And so the colonists were starting to struggle with that. What did that mean exactly? And so you probably know in the Constitution, they actually put something in the Constitution that said that there would be no new importation of slaves by, I think it was like 20 years after the Constitution was written. And so it's amazing that these guys, they were struggling with this idea of all men, and they mean women, but all men, all humans created equal with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And they're like, what could happen if we had a government of the people, by the people, for the people? Mm-hmm. Well, look what happened. Look what happened. Regular people, you know, are living thriving and prosperous lives. Black unemployment is at the lowest ever. Hispanic unemployment is at the lowest ever. Women's unemployment is at the lowest ever. That set of ideas has given us this. The set of ideas in the Communist Manifesto,
it's brought death,
has given us Venezuela.
Yeah. And to your point, before I was born, you know, Venezuela was a prosperous country. And I think people forget that they don't really, you know, everyone thinks, oh, it'd be different here. No, it wouldn't. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be any different. You know, it took maybe 40 years or so. That's usually the lifespan of a communist nation before it begins to fall. And it's gone.
Well, and I know firsthand, another thing, I was in a song and dance group a long time ago. It was Up With People, and it was actually created kind of to push back on all of the stuff that was happening on the campuses in the 60s. And so to talk about, you know, all mankind and, you know, kind of love and joy and things like that. So anyway, and one of my, and they had kids from all over the world. And a good friend of mine was Nelson Gonzalez, and he was from Caracas, Venezuela. And he would show me pictures of back home. And Venezuela was thriving and prospering, and it was vibrant. And it breaks my heart to see people in line now. It looks like...
and they're burning food and blocking roads. And the other one is Cuba, where people go, oh, Cuba's so cute. And like, oh, it's like stepping back in time. That's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing.
I think Dan Mira on Rush Reason the other day said, you know, what did the socialists use before... candles.
What?
Electricity.
Oh, that's a good one.
But it's true. I mean, it takes us backwards. And people are like, oh, communism and socialism is different. No, it's not. I mean, they're pretty much the same thing. There really aren't any, you know.
Socialism gets you to communism.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I remember being in economics at, you know, at Colorado Christian University, which is where I did my undergrad. And, you know, we had this kind of economic scale. And where you had... you know, kind of independent in the middle, and then you had a Republican and then conservative, and then on the other side you had, you know, Democrat and liberal, and then you had socialist, and then you had communist. So this way of thinking, this liberal left way of thinking, and we're seeing this, you know, we were kind of talking about the sex ed bill, you know, where that, I mean, that falls right in line with what Karl Marx would love. We take control of the schools. We take control of who you think you are. And we tell you that we know best.
Well, and the other thing on that, Cassie, is instead of teaching, you know, the classical liberal education, which I think you probably had, to think about high ideals, to think about excellence, to push our
critically,
big ideas,
philosophy.
To be the best that we can be. The sex ed bill, instead of if kids... cause learning about that, they're going to be learning about hedonistic things, about, you know, physical things that might, and I don't want to say physical pleasure, but that, you know, that's, so they're focusing on the physical stuff instead of focusing on the big ideas that I think really help people live, you know, lives of meaning.
Well, to help them, you know, develop as a person. Like, I remember having to sit and do a, I did a book when I was like 12 on critical thinking, where I had to sit there and go, okay, what does this mean? You know, check the boxes. And and at the time I thought it was so stupid, but now I look at it and I go, wow, like that was actually, like that's something I still think about, is the fact that we're, you know, we're not teaching kids, you know, how to think. We're teaching them what to think. We're saying, you know, here's what you're going to think on this. You know, you're going to think about, you know, all these, you know, different sexual things, and you're going to think about all this LGBTQ stuff, and you have to decide, you know, which gender you want to be when you're, you know, 10. And
it's like, wait, you are a gender, you know, it's nature's law. You
but
know?
But instead of teaching, you know, like you said, higher ideals, instead of teaching, you know, here's how to think about your life going forward.
Well, that's for sure. Cassie George, We're going to have to do this again. Does that sound okay?
Okay.
This has gone way too quickly. But it's great to have you here. Any final thought?
Thank you. No, it's great to be here, and I look forward to it again.
Okay, so. Well, that sounds great. So we're going to continue to go through the Communist Manifesto. We were actually going through, they have 11 things. I'm just going to throw this out. Mm-hmm. One other thing before we go to break. Number 10 that they recommend is a free education for all children in public schools. Mm-hmm. And then we have to ask why Governor Polis wants to make
kindergarten.
So we just have to ask that question.
Free is not free.
Yeah.
Always have to throw that out.
That's for sure. That's
anyone for who's sure. a parent knows that free is not free.
That's right. And freedom isn't free. Yeah. We have to stand for it every day. So our quote for today is George Washington. He said, "Truth will ultimately prevail where there are pains taken to bring it to light." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. Cassie George, thank you so much for being in studio.
Thank you.
It's great having you here. This is Kim Munson with the AmeriChick signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.